The scripture is John 14, 15 through 27, but you'll find it on page 1676. There's one thing I forgot to change in the bulletin. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Sandy. See, you did it well, in spite of your voice. Last week, we talked about Pentecost, because it was Pentecost Sunday, and all over the world, churches were talking and preaching about the coming of the Holy Spirit, this great and amazing event. It had never been dreamed of before up until that point, that the Holy Spirit would come and stay. It wouldn't just pop here and there through miracles in the lives of the prophets, which was an incredible event. I mean, think of Elijah, what he did by the power of the Holy Spirit, made fire, you know, through his prayers, the Holy Spirit rained down from heaven, and other events. Always the Holy Spirit was involved. But this time, what? The Holy Spirit was coming to stay. So up until then, the Holy Spirit manifested in the lives of the prophets for special events and times. But now the Spirit was to be, not just to stay, but with every believer always. This is a huge event, people. You got to realize, if you would have said that to any prophet in the past, they would have gone, "What? No." It would have been hard to believe, just like it's hard for us to believe some of the things that are written in the Bible about what is to come. What? We're going to see Jesus descend from heaven in the same way he went up? With angels around? What? See, that's what happens, that we Christians are from another, not planet, but another reality. But we're stuck here in a world that where Satan is worshipped, where money is worshipped, where the philosophies of this world are worshipped. We're stuck, and we're called to shine in the midst of this world of decay and darkness. And that's why the Holy Spirit came, because we can't do that without him. This had never happened before. The Holy Spirit, again, just remember, popped here and there. It was rare to see the Holy Spirit at work. Now, this is sad, that unfortunately many people today within the church still believe that the Holy Spirit is in and out of our lives. In and out. In and out. We got to call him in. In and out. And they still believe that he only shows up for special times and events. The disciples were wondering what is going to happen in the whole passage. Go read it at home again. But they are kind of confused. The whole thing is that they say to him, what? You're leaving? Confused. Didn't you come to stay? What is happening? And then Judas says, not Judas, the traitor. He says, whoever has my commands, but Lord, do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Because he still doesn't get it. Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we, did you notice that word? We will come to them and make our home with them. Now, the Holy Spirit somehow, when the Holy Spirit is here, Jesus is in heaven. I'm going to confuse you, but trust me, this is the way it is. Jesus left and he said, I'm gone. I'm going to go. I'm going to prepare a place for you. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. But through the Holy Spirit, he is here with us. We, he says, we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my commands. These words you hear are not my own. So the Father had given him what to say. They belong to the Father who sent me. That's the same thing the Holy Spirit does. Everything the Holy Spirit says. So they're all in unison. Everything the Father says, Jesus says, it's wisdom, the Father's wisdom, the Father's life. The Holy Spirit does the same thing for the honor of God the Father in Jesus' name, allowed by the sacrifice of the Spirit. You see, that's why sometimes people give up in trying to understand the Spirit, because it's a little complex, but it really is simple when it comes down to it. You'll understand the Holy Spirit a little bit better when I'm done preaching, I promise, because the Holy Spirit is the one teaching us. So the disciples are here trying to make sense of the fact that Jesus is leaving. The Holy Spirit, Jesus is telling them, will be with us each day and each moment of our lives because he is called to teach us how to live in this new life that Jesus gave us. See, they're all for the same purpose. No one disagrees with anyone. The triune God is in harmony, perfect unity, perfect love, perfect power. Everything is perfectly balanced. So we have a new life, right? When we come to Jesus, we have a new life. We are no longer slaves to sin. Although we still sin, we're not slave to sins. Meaning, we have the power to overcome sin by what power? The power of the Holy Spirit. So he came to teach us how to live in this new life that we receive free due to the sacrifice that was done on the cross. That's why Jesus says in verse 26, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. What things? Well, there's a lot to learn. That's why we never stop growing. The Holy Spirit was sent to teach us all these new things, all things, and will continue to teach us until we get to heaven and we can learn them directly from the entire Trinity. The second part of this verse says, he will remind you of everything I have said to you. Don't you love that unity? There's no division. There's no competition. There's this perfect unity. He will remind you. Why? Because we have spiritual amnesia. We forget that we are forgiven. We forget that although we sin, we are holy because of the sacrifice of Christ. We forget that although we are holy, we're still sinners, so we still need to ask for forgiveness. We still need to grow. Even though we are perfect, we are being made perfect. All these apparent contradictions, which are not contradictions, they're just part of the reality of heaven. And our little pea-sized brain, human brain, cannot understand the things of the Spirit unless the Spirit reveals them to us. There is no book, there is no title, there is no diploma that will help us to understand the Spirit, but only the Spirit of God. There's nothing that will help us to understand God except the Spirit of God. I don't care what the theologians say. I don't care how many lexicons and Bible commentaries you read. God is a revealer of mysteries. And that's what we learn from Daniel. Only the Holy Spirit can help us to understand God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So Jesus reminds them, he will remind you of everything I have said to you. I love it. You know why? Because you and me, we have spiritual amnesia. We forget. How often do you forget that you're forgiven? How often do you forget that you need to confess your sins, even though you're forgiven? How often do you forget that the greatest sign of spirituality is what? Is it tongues? Is it miracles? What is the greatest sign of spirituality? Don't let me down, congregation. Love. That is the greatest sign of spirituality. Love. What did Jesus say? The entire law is fulfilled in two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your mind, strength, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Every commandment is fulfilled. Makes no sense to me, but it's the reality. Because if you love God and you love your brother and your sister, you will walk in godliness. You will walk in holiness. And you will walk in peace. And then in verse 17, he warns us that not everyone will accept or acknowledge the Holy Spirit, which is what we see today. The Spirit of truth, he says, the world cannot accept him. Why? Because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, Jesus said, for he lives with you and will be in you. Notice the difference. The Holy Spirit, up until that point, lived with them. But now he's going to be in them. Do you remember what Peter said to the man who was crippled at the temple courts? Silver nor gold I do not have, but what I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus, walk. And that man got up and walked. Peter knew the Holy Spirit lived inside of him. The Holy Spirit is the one in charge of miracles. Every miracle, study your Bible, every miracle Jesus did, he did it by the power of the Holy Spirit, not in his own power. The power of the Holy Spirit. He says that. And you know why he did that? Because he left his God powers, so to speak, in heaven. He had to grow and trust, learn to trust the Holy Spirit, walk in the power of the Holy Spirit the same way you and I are to do it. He had to lead by example. So every miracle he did it by the power of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit was fully dwelling in him. So you're going to say to me, okay, wait a minute, Pastor. So why is it that we cannot say to a crippled man today, I don't have silver or gold, which I think none of us do, lots of money. But what I do have, which we all do, I give you in the name of Jesus, walk. Why? Not enough faith. And faith depends, it comes with how much we have allow the Holy Spirit to grow in us. So imagine this. The Holy Spirit comes, he's very respectful. He never will bypass or force your will. So he comes in the fullness of who he is, but we can suppress him, we can keep him in the corner, we can not allow him to expand in us, and we can just make him a visitor. Yeah, I want you to come here and there in my life. Or we can give him the keys for him to rule our lives, our minds, and everything, our tongue, the way we speak, what we do with our hands, with our feet, what we look at with our eyes. So then, when the greater the room, the greater the power of the Holy Spirit. So, as you know, the disciples were completely, fully surrounded. How about you? Where are you? Saying, Holy Spirit, yeah, you can sit in the living room of my heart. But there are certain rooms that are only for me to have. Or we give him the key to every room of our hearts. And we ask him to command and guide and rule our lives. The Holy Spirit will be with us as he was with the disciples. But he is also in us. He came to dwell in us as he did with the disciples. This is a big deal again. Listen, grab this. The holy would now dwell with the unholy for the purpose of making it holy. Let me say it again. The holy would now dwell with the unholy for the purpose of making it holy. Therefore, it is our duty, our responsibility to walk in step with the Spirit. Listen, the Holy Spirit is not done with you. Do you think he's done with me? You see any pastor who appears like the Holy Spirit is done with them? Run. Run with the wind in the opposite direction. Because you will not grow if your pastor is not growing. You will not experience hunger for God if your pastor is not hungry for God. We need to grow. We need to grow in our hunger, in our holiness. This is a lifetime journey. You can't be content. You can't be satisfied like the woman at the well. Ask for water, the living water. We need to sing that song as the Holy Spirit continue to pray about it. And learn about the Holy Spirit. So, how do we do that? How do we let the Spirit grow in us? How do we commune with the Spirit? We begin by remembering that we are no longer slaves to Satan, to the world. And we learn to live like the children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, which is what we are. You are the child of God. You're the child of the king. What do you call a child of a king? A prince. A princess. That's who you are. Royalty. Do you live like that? Think about that for a minute. Galatians 4:7 says, you are no longer a slave. You're God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. You have inherited every promise of God. Are you cashing in? That's money, people. Better than money. That's heavenly money. Cashing on to the promises of God. Yes, God has made you an heir. And he wants you to live not as a slave, not as a pauper, but as a rich, wealthy prince and princess of God. Not with earthly money. Who wants that? It disappears. We need enough to live on. But it's the heavenly money that counts. That's why that man That prayer in Proverbs says, don't give me too much money that I may forget about you. But don't give me so little that I may turn in bitterness, something like that, against you. Give me just enough so that we can still focus on what really matters, which is our walk with God, the things of the Spirit. So, we also make every effort. I'm almost done. Stay with me, because the Holy Spirit is uncharted territory for the most part. So we also make every effort to not satisfy the desires of our sinful nature. Just because you feel like telling someone off, it doesn't mean you have to. You can die to that and ask the Holy Spirit to take over. Galatians 5:16-18. Listen to this. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. That's a mouthful. But it shows us the turmoil that we have. When you feel like killing someone, don't kill them. When you feel like gossiping about someone, don't do it. When you feel like criticizing someone, don't do it. And you have the power not to do it. That's the good news. Learn to live in this new way of Jesus' life through the power of the Holy Spirit. Why cherish the old man, the old person in us? Why? It's no good. Why should we cherish those things that we grew up with? Oh, my mom was that way, or my dad was that way. That's why I'm that way. It's a lame excuse, not my Heavenly Father. My Heavenly Father was not like that. So we need to seek our Father's, to have our Father's eyes and our Father's desires in us, the way Jesus did. Listen to one more verse. Romans 7:6. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve, remember this, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit. That's what the Spirit does. He brings a new way of living, a new way of behaving, a new way of thinking, a new worldview, which is tied to Jesus' life. So, let me read it again. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. According to this verse, then, we are free from the law, not to live as we please, but to live in the new way of the Spirit. And so it is our duty to check with the Holy Spirit what that new way is in every area of our lives. My brothers and sisters, God has given us this Spirit to teach us how to live in that new way of the Spirit, which is God's way. My brothers and sisters, the Spirit lives inside of you. I want you to pause for a moment as we end and move on to the Lord's Supper. The Spirit of God lives inside of you. God lives inside of you. God lives inside of you. How does that make you feel? God dwells with you, but also in you. And He lives, Spirit lives inside of you to help you, to guide you, to encourage you, and to admonish you. Why? because sometimes we need it. We need to be admonished. Let us then be intentional about communing with the Holy Spirit and acknowledging Him in our lives. Let us pray. I want you to spend just a few seconds, 20 seconds or 30 seconds. You tell God about what you think about this, and you make yourself, I'm talking about God the Holy Spirit. You tell the Holy Spirit, if you have neglected Him, ask for forgiveness and invite Him to come and rule and command your heart, your mind, everything, your finances, your entertainment, your tongue, your eyes. Just talk to the Holy Spirit. Respond to Him. God, the Holy Spirit has heard your prayer, and whatever we prayed it in the name of Jesus. Amen.